Good afternoon, everyone. I call the Senate Health and Social Services Committee to order at 3:30 p.m. on Thursday, March 30th. We're meeting today in room 205 of the Capitol Building. Please remember to silence your cell phones as a courteous. Committee members present today are Senator Tobin, Vice Chair Kaufman, Senator Geisel, and Senator Dunbar. And myself, Senator Wilson, we do have a quorum to conduct business today. We have one item of business this afternoon. It is Senate Joint Resolution 10, Medicare Reimbursement, which is sponsored by Senator Geisel. This is our first hearing of the bill, and we do have some additional staff in the room, too, Mr. John Hugh and Jane Conway here also in the room to support Senator Geisel if needed. And Senator Geisel, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. So Senate Joint Resolution 10 relates to the reimbursement rates for Medicare. As most of us know, we are experiencing a senior tsunami. As baby boomers reach the age of retirement and senior age, we have an avalanche coming towards us. This is the fastest growing per capita population in the nation here in Alaska. And our medical costs are the highest in the nation. So, we had most recently Alaska Regional Hospital close their Medicare clinic. And so several thousand seniors are looking for another provider, which they're not finding because so few providers accept Medicare. The reimbursement is so low that they simply can't support their practices on what they're reimbursed by Medicare. Interestingly, Alaska is opposite most states. In the lower 48, Medicare pays more than Medicaid. Here in Alaska, that's reversed, which makes it even more of a problem for seniors. So I had reached out to our Congresswoman Peltola when she was here and brought up this issue, and they have so many major things coming at them. It was something that actually was not at the top of her list. That is Medicare reimbursement. And so that's when I really felt, Mr. Chairman, that the legislature should make a statement. And so that was the impetus for Senate Joint Resolution 10. I did reach out to multiple organizations. You'll see a lot of letters of support from organizations that do serve seniors and certainly medical facilities that serve seniors that want to serve our senior population, but they have to be able to make it pencil out. So that's the purpose of the resolution, Mr. Chairman, to deliver a message to our congressional team. They're the ones that can make this adjustment in Medicare reimbursement, and so we're hoping this will be helpful to them. Thank you, Mr. President, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Geisel. Are there questions from the resolution sponsor at this time before we go into public testimony? Seeing none, we will open up to public testimony. Is there anyone here in the room in Juneau who would like to testify on Joint Resolution 10? Seeing none, we will go to the phone lines where we do have a few folks. First, we'll start with Mike Coons. Mr. Coons, if you can place yourself on the record and plan for about 3 minutes for your testimony this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Wilson and committee. My name is Mike Coons. I'm speaking for myself, and I am a senior. I'm 70 years old. And I deal with Medicare a fair amount. I'm also a veteran, so I have the VA. I've contacted Senator Geisel's office and your office earlier today. I would like to propose an amendment to this to add the VA and TRICARE and TRICARE for Life to this resolution. Since all three of them are federal, this is a resolution to our delegation in D.C. The problem with the VA and TRICARE for Life is that they pay pennies on the dollar just like Medicare does. But I want to give you some examples of why I'm supporting this bill and why we need it. I'm not going to say my doctor's name or anything else, but on January 4th, I went, saw him, and I had and the amount provider charge was $425. Medicare approved $140, and the amount they actually paid was $109 with a $28 bill to me that TRICARE for Life ended up picking up. Then on January 10th was another $470. They approved $197. They paid zero. Medicare paid zero. And they shipped that to TRICARE for Life, which TRICARE for Life ended up picking up to $197, which of the $470. My doctor is a business as well as being a doctor. And so how these guys can stay in business in a clinical setting on those dollars is beyond me. Then on the VA, I just got a couple examples. My wife, as you're aware of, just passed away from cancer 2 months and 1 day ago. And I get the TriWest bills from them to know what actually transpired and what the costs were. And in one of those, it was the total amount on this one bill that I got was the amount billed was $340,546.30. That included radiology, that included blood drawing, a whole litany of things. $340,546. The VA paid $58,594.60. That's all they paid. I mean, that's pennies on the dollar. Another one for Alaska Imaging Associates. She had to have a thoracentesis along with that. The amount billed, $1,605. VA paid $395.35. Another one, the Alaska Imaging, $63 billed, $32.11 paid by the VA, as well as other ones that I've gotten from anesthesia that the bill has come through and the VA paid, and TRICARE, and the VA paid zero. So the bottom line on this is that there's those of us that are financially well off, that where we're able to use Medicare or veterans that use the VA. And so we got this capability, and TRICARE for Life is our secondary. But they're even paying pennies on the dollar. The bottom line of this is I've run across doctors that won't take veterans anymore. They won't take the veterans the payment from the VA because the VA pays so little. We're running into – we got the largest veterans population in the nation here in the state of Alaska. How long is this much – how much longer is Alaska is Matsu Regional Hospital – going to be able to continue taking veterans in the hospital if they're getting paid these kind of figures and these pennies on the dollar?
Mr.
Again, just on one bill.
Hey, Mike.
$340,000, and they only paid out $58,000. So I encourage you to add VA and TRICARE for Life and pass this bill, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coons, for your testimony this afternoon. Next up, we have Michael Savit.
Hello.
Hi. Michael, if you can place yourself on the record and plan for about 3 minutes for your testimony this afternoon.
Sure. This is Dr. Savit, Michael Savit. I am calling from Anchorage. I am the Chief Medical Officer for the Anchorage Health Department. And I would like to make some comments in support of this resolution to start out with. It's a good start. It outlines the problems we face financially where inadequate Medicare payments are concerned. It correctly addresses the growing senior Medicare insured population and decreasing Medicare providers available. It speaks to the delays in obtaining necessary services resulting in overusage of urgent care clinics and hospital emergency departments. Urgent care clinics and emergency departments were never meant to be senior cannot render the care seniors need. Furthermore, it increases the strain on the rest of the healthcare system, already badly damaged by the recent pandemic. The care for these folks cannot be disjointed. There must be continuity of care. As to the reference to the Alaska Regional Senior Clinic, it's important to note that the senior clinic was also a victim of the pandemic and the resulting lack of staffing. Over time, they became unable to continue to provide care safely and, rather than have the potential to do harm, made the difficult decision to close their clinic. As mentioned in the resolution, this left many folks without medical care and exacerbated a problem that already existed. In my capacity as the chief medical officer for the Anchorage Health Department, I formed a task force along with our community partners in an attempt to help our Medicare-insured community obtain the medical care that they need. This is a difficult situation in that we are trying to fix a federal issue on a local level. We have already reached out to our senators and representative in D.C. Health is not coming anytime soon. Although Alaska is being hit hard by this, we are not the only state with this problem. More states must become involved in this effort. There's no quick fix for this. The problem is not going away. We will need to become more self-sufficient, more creative in our attempts to recruit and retain all levels of providers. We must be able to provide immediate, short-term, and long-term solutions. We need to take a closer look at why we're in this situation. We need to be sure we are looking at all of the causes. We are making assumptions and could be missing something not tied to Medicare dollars that we might be able to remedy. Our community partners, who are able to, are accepting additional Medicare-insured patients. And while this is helpful, it's not enough. Be able to take care of more patients at any one clinic means more providers are needed within that clinic, along with more staff to assist the additional providers. It means longer wait times for initial visits to establish care. In the meantime, people need medications refilled or doses adjusted, chronic health issues monitored, new problems recognized and taken care of, and so on. That's all to remember that each year more of us go on Medicare. As I stated earlier, this resolution is a good start. More work needs to be done, and I'm hopeful the legislature will help us explore additional ways to provide the care needed by our Medicare-insured population. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Michael, for your testimony this afternoon. Next, we have Jerome George. Jerome, if you can plan about 3 minutes for your testimony and place yourself on your record, you may begin when you're ready.
Did you ask for Jerome George?
Yes, we did. You're up, sir. If you can place yourself on the record and plan 3 minutes for your testimony.
I echo Dr. Savitz. He is very articulate and very on point on every point. I serve on the committee that he put together as a private citizen. I am a 39-year retired employee from the state of Alaska. Why should the legislature be interested? Because my contract for medical care right now is with the state of Alaska, not with Medicare or the federal government. If Medicare goes away in 3 years when it turns bankrupt, the state of Alaska is still on the hook for my medical bills. So it's in the state's best interest to see that Medicare survives, because the bill is going to be horrendous for the state under my contract. One other thing that can be addressed is do away with the blackmail clause that's in the Medicare program. The blackmail clause says that if I, as a state employee, am on Medicare and have supplemental insurance, I go to a clinic and they say, sorry, Mr. George, if I take you, I also have to take Medicare patients that do not have supplemental insurance, and I can't afford to take those patients. Therefore, I can't see you, because the federal government requires that if I take you, I have to take people that can't pay. They're businesses. They got to pay the rent. So I cannot see the doctor I choose to see because of this blackmail clause. When the clinic, the senior health clinic closed, I was left without doctors and very, very difficult to find a doctor because of the blackmail clause. The other thing that we discovered in this committee was the biggest deterrent to attracting new medical people to Alaska is our poor school system. Recruiters on the national level are telling us they cannot get people to come to Alaska because these professionals do not want to put their children in a failing school system. So how the legislature treats the school crisis right now also has a great effect on the medical crisis because of our inability to attract people into the workforce here in Alaska. The University of Alaska has failed to recruit and graduate the healthcare workers that we need, and we have to look at that. Why can't they recruit and why can't they produce? And the legislature needs to consider that in their budget for the university. We need a vibrant medical school at the university to fill the needs for our community. And as Mr. Savitt pointed out, our seniors are the largest group of voters in the state. And we're increasing at a phenomenal rate. We're the fourth most, according to a recent survey, we're the fourth most attractive state in the country to retire to, mainly because of taxes and other reasons, but we are growing in that sector, and we're not addressing the needs of that sector. Thank you very much for letting me testify.
Thank you, Mr. George, for your testimony this afternoon. Next, we have Eric Gurley. Eric, if you can place yourself on the record and begin your testimony, plan for about 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'm Eric Gurley, Access Alaska Inc.'s Executive Director. I am calling from Anchorage. Access Alaska is one of Alaska's four centers for independent living. Collectively, our efforts assist individuals and families in improving their independence and helping Alaskans with disabilities and seniors remain in their own homes and communities. Access Alaska provides centers for independent living support out of hub areas of our state, including but not limited to Anchorage, Fairbanks, and the Mat-Su Valley. In terms of supporting Alaska seniors, we also serve the North Slope, Bethel, and Dillingham areas, or regions 1, 3, and 7 through State of Alaska Senior In-Home Grants. I also am married to a senior and have two senior parents that have resided in the same home for 42 years now in the interior in North Pole, Alaska, outside of Fairbanks. I am calling to support Senate Joint Resolution 10, an increase in Medicare reimbursement rates. I applaud this. I support this. It is a heavy lift. Alaskans 65 and older are expected to increase by 30% per the Alaska Population Projection 2021 to 2050 report that was published in June of 2022. As our state grays, Medicare's dated and limited reimbursement rates impact Alaskans through examples such as health care. You've been hearing examples of that already. Current Medicare reimbursement rates do not support the needed access seniors require for healthcare problems. Workforce shortages, clinics closing, and primary care delays create more significant care needs. And for that senior waiting for that care, it can be a life-changing event. Without an increase in Medicare reimbursement rates, the gap of economic insecurity and increased cost impact seniors, especially those on fixed incomes. We do need your support and beyond our congressionals to meet the burden of care Medicare reimbursement rates are meant to provide in this time of increased costs and higher expenses at all community levels. So my ask is to please continue to work with our congressional representation to increase the Medicare reimbursement rates in our state. And thank you for taking this on. Additionally, please review and correct the practice of penalizing seniors with a lifelong fee for late enrollment. This is quite complicated, quite costly to the person. And listen, there's many examples of how late enrollment may occur, but little remedy available. To require a payment of a fee for life seems unfair. Thank you for your time today and your consideration and support on this critical matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gurley, for your testimony this afternoon. Seeing no one else online and no one else here in the room in Juneau wishing to testify on the Senate Joint Resolution 10, we will go ahead and close public testimony at this time. And we'll also take a brief at ease. We'll go back on the record. Are there any further questions for this resolution sponsor at this time? Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make a point that, interestingly enough, one of the public testifiers said that seniors are the largest voting bloc. Unfortunately, that is no longer accurate. Millennials have surpassed that number. And according to most recent U.S. Census results, we make up 44.4% of the entire population of the state of Alaska. So we're coming for you on the voting systems.
As with everything, time will change those millennials into seniors. Is there any further questions for the resolution sponsor? Seeing none, just looking for the will of the committee. Is there a motion, Senator Kaufman?
I have a motion. I move Senate Joint Resolution 10, version 33-LS0490/A from committee with individual recommendations.
All right. Is there any objection? Seeing none, I'll also just note there is a zero physical note to this resolution as well. And Joint Resolution 10 passes from committee with individual recommendations. We'll go ahead and continue to pass around that sheet as we continue on. Also want to put a deadline for the close of business of next week, April 6th, for the following two bills. Senate Bill 91, the Telehealth Multidisciplinary Team by Senator Klayman, and Senate Bill 24, Public School of Mental Health Education by Senator Gray Jackson. As always, if you do have amendments, it's always best to work with the sponsor of that, is the recommendation. And also, are there any closing comments before we close for the day? Seeing none, next Tuesday we'll hold an initial hearing and take invited and public testimony on Senate Bill 106, Home and Community-Based Waivers, sponsored by Senator Diesel. And we will also not have a meeting on April 6th of next week. With that, we are adjourned at 3:54 p.m.